This program contains explicit content and subject matter which may be unsuitable for some listeners. Discretion is advised.
Smart. Sexy. Kinky. Fun.
Welcome to Sex Out Loud with your host, sex educator, author, and filmmaker, Tristan Taramino. It's sex-positive radio like you've never heard before. Tristan talks about sexuality from every angle with leading authors, experts, artists, and icons. From sex education and sexual politics to BDSM and non-monogamy, nothing is off limits. So get ready to open your mind and expand your horizons. This is Sex Out Loud. And now here's your host, Tristan Taramino.
Welcome to Sex Out Loud, everyone. Hey, it's Friday, January 31st, the last day of January. And I saw a lot of people posting on social media today, like, we made it through January. It was only 6 months long. Or I barely made it through January. It has been a really rough month. And so as we slide into the end of democracy as we know it, I thought I would offer you just a little respite from the CNN coverage, the NPR coverage, and the motherfucking liars in the government. How about that? Let's just take a break from it, take a breath, experience some joy. And speaking of joy, wow, this person kind of embodies joy to me. And I don't know if you saw my social media post, but she has new photos. She has new promo photos. And when I got them, I was just like, holy shit, like this is her. Whoever took these photos is brilliant. It captures everything there is to capture about you. I'm welcoming her back to the show because she's been on before, let me tell you. Dixie De La Tour is a sexual folklorist, professional storyteller, podcaster, teacher, coach, community builder, and most of all, a facilitator. She is the founder, curator, and host of the award-winning and not safe for work storytelling series, Body Storytelling, which LA Weekly called The Moth for Pervs. It's been lauded for its transformational, relatable, empowering performances. The live stage series is now in its 13th year. The groundbreaking Body Storytelling podcast has over 2 million downloads and nearly 400 five-star reviews, which is about 350 more reviews than I have total. Just a hint out there if you like my show. Dixie has been a featured storyteller for the National Storytelling Conference, and in addition to story and public speaking coaching for her own series, she coaches individuals for events such as TEDx, Women in Technology, and has hosted and coached storytelling events in public libraries and in the classroom. Welcome back to Sex Out Loud, Dixie.
Hey, Tristan, how are you?
Those photos, though. Can we talk about those?
Oh, my God. Yeah, let's talk about
them. They're so good. I mean, you know what? Sometimes you see a photo and you're like, oh, like that is a photograph of the person. That's a picture, but it doesn't really capture like their spirit.
And you know what? I never knew this was the answer because I hate having pictures taken of myself. But I had somebody who came to my show when I did a show in New York like over a year ago. And they were a big fan. They'd driven 5 or 6 hours to come to the show. And they wrote me afterwards and said, I'm a photographer and I really want to do a photo shoot with you. And I was like, yeah, photos, not that, you know. Mm-hmm. And they ended up coming to San Francisco about 4 months ago. And they were like, where are we going to take pictures? So I posted on social media, you guys, where should I take great pictures? I have a professional photographer who, you know, is ready to go. And people were suggesting all the typical places, Palace of Fine Arts and, you know, all the beautiful buildings. And I'm like, that doesn't feel like me. And eventually somebody said, fireboat. And I was like, what the fuck is a fireboat? And they're like, I'm a fireman. There's this amazing boat that, you know, takes the mayor around the city and puts out fires when they're near the edge of the water and all these kind of things. It's really impossible to get onto. And I was like, well, that's it. You tell me something can't be done and I'm going to do it. So we set up this whole adventure, the photographer, whose name is Natalie, and I, and we were like, okay, we're going to go to the fire department. There will be firemen. How do we get them to let us take photos on the fireboat?
Yeah, this seems like it's like against the rules or there's a permit necessary or something.
Right? Yeah. They had just taken the mayor out a little bit before and they'd come back and we decided, you know, we were like, should we take them beer? We decided to take them gourmet fancy donuts. Then we just came in and overwhelmed them and said, hi, we're here because we want to be on the fireboat. And they were like, donuts, done.
And that's all it takes? Oh, my God.
Well,
you San Franciscans are so fucking weird. In New York, they would be like, donuts and cash, please. Not that I'm implying that the fire department is corrupt or anything, no. But okay, go ahead.
The thing was, one of the fire, you know, they had to have somebody be with us if we were going to get it. The fireboat never left the dock. Mm-hmm. But if we were going to get on it, somebody had to escort us. And this fireman had had no exposure to sex and story. So as Natalie and I, who were catching up, were talking about stories she'd heard on the podcast, he just kept interjecting very quiet questions like, what's a dungeon?
Or
what is a swinger? And he was like fascinated. Mm-hmm. Like we could have been there for 6 days and he'd have been fine with it because he got to ask us all the things and I started telling him stories and she took those pictures while I was like lit up in story and having an adventure, creating a story. That's why those pictures were so good.
And by the way, Dixie, that was a great story.
Thanks.
Which I didn't know because I didn't tell you I was going to ask you that question. So Body has been going strong. For people who don't know, it is a storytelling series. So like others, like The Moth, in fact, it's exactly like that. But also Dixie mixes it up. Like sometimes it's a curated show where she has picked storytellers and she's picked all the storytellers for the show. Sometimes it's curated. Plus at the end, anyone can put their name in the hat and has 5 minutes to tell a story. And that's like a slam. And so there's different sort of combinations that happen. And it's everyone from, you know, sex icons to porn stars to stand-up comedians, sex educators. I've done it several times. And finally, my story was captured for a very recent episode of the podcast. I forget what number it is, but it's like 197 or something.
I think it's 97.
Or 97. Okay, yeah. I was giving you 100 more shows.
I know. Thanks for making me feel like I've been around.
Awesome. Okay, so it's number 97. Someone just asked about it. Well, okay, they either asked about my story or they asked about another story that is so similar to mine. I can't believe it exists on Twitter. And that was like yesterday or today. So you're at your last, what was the last venue you did? What city?
Of the tour or?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, of the tour.
I just got through doing a tour that finished in November. We did LA, Chicago, New York, San Francisco, Seattle. Yeah. So I'm back in San Francisco now and I do Seattle every month.
Wow. That's a lot.
I know, but I love touring. It's hard. It's really hard to get an audience in a new city where, you know, I mean, we're internationally known, but the live show tends to stay on the West Coast. So they're always like, what? And it's just really hard to get any signal on social media, as you know. But right. Touring is one of my favorite things to do.
Well, because you do have fans everywhere. I mean, people are constantly saying, I want Body to come to my city. I want Body to come to my city. I feel like people are holding their breath till you come there.
Yeah, we had a really good time in Chicago because people drove from Grand Rapids and these cities that were a long distance away. And they found perverts in their own city by coming to the show. Like people they didn't know in their own city that was like 6 hours away.
I do tell people, by the way, that it's a really good pickup place.
It is.
Because if you're like looking for sort of like-minded, open-minded people, It's a good place to go. Okay, well, I want to give people a taste if they haven't been or they haven't listened to the podcast, which of course you can go and subscribe. So tell me about this first clip. Do we need to know anything?
I believe our first clip is from Danny Lyon. I could tell you more after the clip, but this story was originally pitched as a crazy sex adventure. And as we started working together and I started story coaching her, this story, and this happens all the time, a completely different story just appeared. Mm. And that is what ended up on stage.
Fascinating. Okay, let's hear this little piece of story from Danny Lyon.
In my senior year, I meet Emily. And Emily is a redhead. And she's a sculptor. And she's tall and she's skinny. And she's a sophomore, but she went to Catholic school. So she's been queer way longer than I have. And the first time I kiss her, I feel drunk. And she tells me she wants me to fuck her with a strap on. And I race her to Good Vibrations, and we pick out a kit, and we set a date for that weekend in her dorm room. And we're like, the time comes, and we're making out, and we're laughing, and it's fun, and I'm getting all dressed up. But I get on top of her, and all of a sudden, I freeze. And she asks me what's wrong, and I was like, I am just really scared I'm gonna hurt you. And she like smiles at me and she grabs me around the hips and pulls me into her. And it's so wonderful.
New Year from the Pleasure Chest. January is full of amazing pleasure ed classes, including in Los Angeles, January 22nd, Big Sex, Body Positive Sex to Empower Your Sex Life with Elle Chase. January 25th, Asian Femmes Speak Out, a panel on sexuality and stereotypes. In New York, on the Upper East Side, January 15th is a squirt shop, and January 29th is a class on pegging. At the West Village location, January 16th is Asking For It. In Chicago, January 8th, it's Suck It, Lick It, Love It, all about oral sex, and January 15th, BDSM Basics. Plus, from January 14th to the 20th, there's an early bird Valentine's Day special. You can get 20% off most popular couples' toys. Some exclusions apply, online only. Beginning January 17th through February 11th, purchase any WeVibe and get a WeVibe toy bag gift in-store and online. As always, go to pleasurechest.com for these deals, to find out about events, and to get yourself something special while you're there. Hey everyone, it's Tristan. You know, most of us have incredibly busy lives. There's work, school, kids, parents, loved ones, commitments, appointments. Sometimes it shows up in my brain as one giant Google Calendar just scrolling through the days. It's difficult to just pause. When you open the Calm app for the first time, it says, take a deep breath. It sounds so simple, and it really does make a difference. But where do you start? With Calm, all it takes is 5 minutes a day to feel better, calmer, and ready to face whatever life throws at you. It's got guided meditations, breathing and movement exercises, soothing music, and curated playlists. You can even have Nick Offerman tell you a bedtime story. There's other great voices too, but I love me some Nick Offerman. Join over 60 million people who use Calm to center and de-stress. Calm is offering a special limited time promotion for Sex Out Loud listeners of 40% off a Calm premium subscription at calm.com/Tristan. That's 40% off unlimited access to Calm's entire library, hundreds of hours of programming, and new content is added every week. Get started today at calm.com/Tristan.
That's calm.com/TRISTAN. Relax, de-stress, and find your peace with Calm.
Streaming live, the leader in internet talk radio, voiceamerica.com.
You're tuned in to Sex Out Loud with your host, Tristan Taramino. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, please send an email to Tristan@puckerup.com. That's Tristan@puckerup.com. Now back to the show.
Welcome back to Sex Out Loud, everyone. Hey, you know that lube makes everything better, right? Like vaginal penetration, anal penetration, hand jobs, hand sex, masturbation, grinding, oral sex, everything. But when you're choosing a lube, you want one with high quality ingredients. And these days, there are still kind of these old school lubes on the market with glycerin that are not good for the pussy. Uber lube is silicone with a little bit of vitamin E. That's it. No parabens, no petrochemicals, no strange things you can't pronounce. I've got a very sensitive pussy, and that is not a metaphor. It's just easily irritated, and plenty of lubes I've tried just do not agree with me. I like Uber Lube because it's scent-free, flavorless, simple, and long-lasting. Plus, it's got a pump, which is easy to use and hygienic because you're not always touching the top of the bottle. Oh, and it will not stain clothing or bedding. Any spills can be easily washed up with water and detergent. So right now, Uber Lube is offering Sex Out Loud listeners a special deal. 10% off and free shipping when you use my code Tristan at uberlube.com. That's 10% off and free shipping. Just use my code Tristan at uberlube.com. uberlube.com. Do it today. I'm back talking with Dixie from Body Storytelling. And before the break, you heard just a taste of a story that that was told live on stage and then is on her podcast of the same name. Tell me a little bit more about that one, because you said it came to you as one story and then turned into another.
I got a message from Danny after a show to tell me that she had met a couple at an event we did called Body Got Me Laid. And they got up on stage and just were adorable. This couple was adorable. And Danny was in the audience. Danny was really shy, very little experience in the sexual realm at the time. And they connected at the show. And I always get to hear the stories after the show of what ensued after people meet each other. They're like, you're not going to believe what happened. Mm-hmm. And she told me this story about how they got together, had a threesome, and it turned into this story about how she couldn't stop talking about how exciting it was to have her hand inside the woman in the story. The woman is also in another podcast episode. So if you want to hear that story is Chara Steele on the Body Storytelling Podcast. But she was so surprised at the whole encounter that she just kept talking about her hand being inside her, about fisting. And I'm like, why is fisting so important to you? You're talking like it's just the be all end all. And she started telling me her own sexual history, which was she had a lot of issues with essentially vaginismus, where she could not be penetrated. And she had gone to therapists, she had gone to doctors, medical doctors, and the answer had been the same. It was just kind of like, you're never going to be able to do this. And since she identified as bi, the therapist basically said, well, this is easy. Your body has decided for you. You're queer. And she didn't think that was fair. So it was a story about
Also, that's really heteronormative and weird.
Right? She was really upset.
Fucking come on.
Yeah. She was so upset that doctors were just saying, no, your body's decided who you are. And she was like, I make my own decisions about who I'm sexually attracted to. And it was about her journey to try and have sex with someone that she really cared about. And that kind of was the core of the story that had been about fisting. And it was just so beautiful. I'm like, that's the story we need to put on stage.
Oh, I love that. I also want to say this is a sort of good timing because next week I'm going to have two pelvic floor physical therapists on. I've had one on before and it was one of my most popular shows. So we're actually going to talk about vaginismus. So if that just perked up your ears and you're like, hey, I want to know more about that, next week, you got to tune in. Okay, I want to hear another clip because this is just a treat that we are getting to hear these stories, really. And if you want to hear these stories in their entirety, of course, you got to go to the Body Storytelling Podcast. So tell me about this next one by Adam Ross.
Adam Ross is a traditional world storyteller, and he is also a gay man. And he had this epic adventure with trying to open up his relationship, as many people do, trying to save their relationship by becoming poly. He met somebody on a chat room and started opening up his world sexually.
Great.
Officer Andy starts walking up to me and unzips his pants. And as soon as he does, the voice in my head goes from, can I do this? To, wow, how am I going to do this? Because it is big. I mean, football Mike was big. This was at least an inch longer and as thick as the nightstick hanging on his utility belt. But they say where there's a will, there's a way. And we were finding a way. I don't exactly remember what was happening next. I wasn't, you know, drunk or anything. I was stone cold sober, but it was all a blur. All I remember is that, you know, Football Mike had told me to get on all fours and Officer Andy had walked up behind me and started fucking me. And it wasn't painful, but it was uncomfortable. And what was getting me through it was Football Mike. He was leaning down in my ear and saying, yeah, you're being a good boy for daddy. And then he'd like stand up and start egging on Officer Andy. And then the both of us just start kind of getting into this rhythm. You know, all of a sudden I kind of just lost track of everything. And then I hear like this jingling. And then I hear this slapping. And I'm feeling like this on my butt, you know, as he's doing his business. And all of a sudden I remember, he had never taken his pants off. Those are his keys on one side and his gun and his holster on the other.
That's a great detail at the end. I love that. Now, let me ask you, though. You said he comes from the world of traditional storytelling because, you know, I tend to think of traditional storytellers as kind of like NPR ready, right? Like it's pretty PG. Some of them can be very emotional and intimate, but they're keeping it PG, not even PG-13. So what was it like to work with someone who was now telling a totally different kind of story?
Well, I think there's a great reveal in there when he refers to it as doing his business.
Yes.
When I first started Body, I went to a traditional event. You know, it was personal narrative. It was telling your own real stories. But my real stories were as a sex party producer and someone who was part of the sexual underground in San Francisco. So when they said, you can share your stories here, I was like, you guys, I can't. Like, my stories are about sex. And they were like, well, when it comes to talking about sex, then just kind of say, and then we did it. And I'm like, that's the story. You can't do that. When I work with traditional storytellers, they always fade out when it comes to the sex. And then I have to go in and pull it out piece by piece, asking questions. And then they respond in different ways. But it was really fun working with Adam because he was like, oh, wow. Yeah. And then all of a sudden, this other guy comes through the front door. I didn't know we were going to have a guest star. And suddenly there's a cop walking through the front door and I think I'm in trouble. And instead he climbs in bed and we have a threesome. But those details were very protected and very kind of like not mentioned in the first pass. That's not unusual though. That happens a lot.
Yeah. I mean, I've been coached by you. So I know this, that sometimes when you're telling the story, you forget the details and you sort of need a reminder, like what was in the room? What did the person look like, right? Because in your mind, you can see the whole thing perfectly. I mean, at least for me, that's how I remember stories. I can see the entire thing play out like a film. But I don't always know how to articulate what I'm seeing.
And that's my job as a storytelling coach, is to get it out of your head and get it into the room, because I like to tell them the audience is there to be you for that 10 minutes or 5 minutes. So you have to give them everything they need so that they can see what you see and smell what you smell and feel about it the way that you want them to feel about that. So often people will go, you know, I met a man and some stuff happened at the end, and that's why I'm never going to see that person again. And everybody in the audience would go, wait, I was totally on board. I didn't know we weren't supposed to like that person. I didn't know it was a negative experience. That's a sign that you didn't convey your own emotions.
That's a really good point. Okay, we got to take another break. Don't worry, people. We have more dirty stories coming up. Stay with us. More with Dixie when we get back.
Hi, everyone. You may have heard me talking about Erica Lust's new adult film studio, Lust Cinema, over the past few months. Well, this is your final call, people, because you only have 2 weeks left to enjoy the introductory offer of just $5 for 1 month. $5. Go to lustcinema.com/Tristan and pay $5 to access a whole catalog of adult films, as well as performer interviews and behind-the-scenes footage so that you can get a closer look at your favorite stars. There are no extra fees or hidden costs, and you can cancel at any time. On the site, you'll find Lust Cinema original feature-length films and original series shot by Erica Lust, and plenty of other female directors, as well as a huge catalog of licensed content. Just like Erica's work, you're not going to find any reductive casting of performers. There's no boring porn stereotypes and no damaging fetishization. Just very hot sex. Equal pleasure, believable storylines, and cinematic quality. So if you want to experience everything that Lust Cinema has to offer for just $5, go to lustcinema.com/Tristan now.
The Internet's number one talk station. Number one talk station. VoiceAmerica.com.
You're tuned in to Sex Out Loud with your host, Tristan Taramino. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, please send an email to Tristan@puckerup.com. That's Tristan@puckerup.com. Now back to the show.
Welcome back to Sex Out Loud, everyone. Hey, do you have a funny sex story that you want to share with us? I mean, I'm not trying to cock block, obviously, Dixie, but you can call me with your questions, with your comments, with your guest ideas, with your advice problems, whenever you want at 323-SEX-8266, 323-SEX-8266. I'm back with sexual folklorist, professional storyteller, podcaster, teacher, coach, and community builder, Dixie De La Tour, who is the host and the creator and the mastermind behind Body Storytelling. So this is a simple, straightforward question, but I want to ask you anyway, why do you think storytelling matters?
I think a big part of why storytelling is so huge right now is we're being made to conform. Everywhere we go, we're told you're supposed to be like this in the office, and you're supposed to be like this around the parents of your kids' kids, and there's no place to really be ourselves. And we all have this sexual identity that is, you know, it's not worthy of being talked about. I get emails almost every single day from people who tell me their stories because it's burning them up. They don't have anyone to tell them to. And that's the allure of getting on stage at any storytelling event. It's a chance to just be yourself and talk about what you care about and an adventure in your life that shaped you for as many minutes as you're given. And people come to this show all the time, and I will say, you think maybe you might share a story on stage one of these days? And they go, no, talk about sex. I could never do that. And by the end of the night, they're like, I was wrong. I have so many stories and I want to tell it in front of people who aren't going to judge me. You know, I mean, a big part of it is curating the audience too and making sure that they convey that they're actively listening, that they're invested in the story and supporting the storyteller.
I mean, these are also oral histories, and we know that oral history is really important, especially for marginalized and oppressed people whose stories are left out of mainstream history. And I think that's especially true for sex, right? We have just now, Carol Queen has the Center for Sex and Culture, and we have like this archive of sexual materials and histories, but it's not something that's kind of included in history books. I just got back from New Mexico and I got to spend some time at the Indian Pueblo Cultural Center. And obviously oral histories and storytelling is a big part of Indigenous culture. But also I'm a big art freak, and something that you see again and again, if you go to like art events, is this thing called a storyteller doll, which is a clay figurine. It's made by the Pueblo people of New Mexico. And essentially it's like there's a figure, an adult at the center of it with their mouth open. And then they're surrounded by children who are sort of like climbing all over them. I used to see it and be like, oh, they just have a lot of kids. Tristan, dumb white person. But no, this is actually a storyteller doll. And it signifies like just how important sharing those stories and sharing them generationally. I mean, to me, this podcast will be an artifact at some point, right? People will listen to it and say, oh my God, those are the stories that compelled people to tell them. That's the sex that people were having.
Yeah. And that's why I identify as a sexual folklorist and not a sex educator, because I want to collect these stories. We don't have any place to tell our stories. And I did it first through the live show, and now I'm doing it through the podcast so that the stories can be heard wherever people are.
So we have another one coming up. You said on the break to me that it was filthy. Do we need any other setup for this next clip?
Probably not. I can talk about it afterwards, but.
Okay, great.
His profile name really caught my attention. It was Huge Cummer. Even more so when he sent me a message and was like, bro, I want to breed you. I come fucking buckets full, and my cock is going to pulse, and you're going to feel it every time I shoot in your ass. And I was like, ding dong, hey, I'm here. That was me, we were talking online. So one day after we had finished playing around, he had come, I was drenched. He starts telling me about his plans to bring this sex party to San Francisco, and it was based on a sex party that happens in Berlin called the Horse Fair. And I'm like, wait a minute, wait. You mean the Horse Fair from Berlin? He's like, yeah. I'm like, the Horse Fair in Berlin where there are stallions who are tops and mares who are bottoms? He's like, yeah, that's the one I'm going to do it here. I'm like, the Horse Fair where there's stallions and there's mares, and the stallions fuck whichever mare they want, and the mares can't say no, and they're hooded, and they can't see who the fuck is fucking them. He's like, yeah. And I'm like, oh, no, I'm not going to go to that.
Oh, that's a good one.
Let me tell you about that story.
A horse, a stallion and mare party.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, I've been to Berlin and San Francisco, but no one's told me about these. Tell me more.
I don't think we're probably part of queer leather culture, at least queer male leather culture.
Yeah, gay men's culture, yeah. Right.
That story was about A.C. Lobo had been a meth addict. And one of his rituals when he would jerk off while he was on drugs was sort of information or like videos or pieces of this stallion and mare contest, which was, you know, put a hood over your head and you have to acquiesce to whatever happens to you. And that was the planned vibe that everybody agreed to. It was a big fantasy for him. And then he got clean of drugs. And when he found out that that same party was going to be having a chapter do the party in San Francisco, he felt like he couldn't do that because it related to his drug use. Mm-hmm. But one of the reasons it was such a fantasy for him was he'd grown up queer, Latino, chubby, had a lot of body image issues, had been made fun of a lot. And as a grown-up, he turned into a gay Leatherman who was totally buff. If you watch his Instagram, you're like, damn. And it was about kind of reclaiming his, you know, how he felt about his body and this thing that turned him on that he was okay with. You know, it wasn't necessarily about the drugs. It was about the fantasy.
Then this is really relatable. People who've gotten sober have told me this again and again, that it's a huge transition to go from being this sexual being and having sexual experiences when you're high or when you're drunk, when you're on drugs, and then all of a sudden saying, I haven't had sex, not under the influence. I don't know how to do it. I don't know what I want. You know, I mean, part of these stories, as like way out there as they sound, like in the description, you know, stallion and mare party, they're really relatable. And do people tell you that after the shows?
Yeah. I mean, that's what I work with the people about. Often when they first pitch me a story, it's total shock value. It's, you know, oh my God, I have this experience where I had my fist up somebody's ass. And I go, what's that story about? And they go, it's pretty much the story. That's it. And I'm like, no, now we're going to start working on this story. And it takes a lot of work to get them to trust me, to be able to tell me it takes a number of coaching sessions usually to get them to go, for me, I grew up chubby and weird and made fun of. And I've always felt like I was wrong. And to go into a room and have people be attracted to me by how I look, that was a dream come true for me. And you have to help them find that moment and what it's really about. It's like therapy on drugs. It's like therapy at the fastest possible speed. I've had people that I've worked with just suddenly go, oh my God, you just saved me 2 years of therapy right there. Because I ask the same questions a therapist would, except I then take that information and we take all the pieces and we put it together and create a story arc, and we turn it into, for a curated show, a 10-minute piece of their life that really expresses why they chose that story of all the stories they could possibly tell.
I relate to this. I edited a lot of erotica at the beginning of my writing career. And when I was, you know, I would always pick stories that were like really polished and really good established authors. And then I would pick some kind of diamonds in the rough, you know, and say, okay, this person's never been published before, but there's like something here. And often I would read this story and there would be this like throwaway thing. Like it would be like a throwaway line or just a minor, it would barely be sort of paid attention to. And I would like circle it. These are the old days, circle it in pen. And be like, okay, stop. What's this about? And, you know, and often people would say, I don't actually know if I want to go into that any more than I already did. And, you know, you just have to encourage people and say, okay, if you're not comfortable doing that. But sometimes there are these small details or this small little thing. And then you say, hey, can you tell me more about this? And then the whole thing shifts, the whole thing.
Absolutely. You and I do, or you used to when you did that and still do it. It's the same thing. I'm playing editor, except I'm pulling out the diamonds in the rough are always my favorite, you know, stories. The ones where people are intimidated. They're afraid to get on stage. I tell everybody fear is my kink. I love watching you be afraid and empowering you to do it and walk off the stage with a standing ovation going, that was life-changing. I could do anything if I just talked about my sex life and opened myself up to hundreds and hundreds of people. I had a story recently in Seattle that's going to be on the podcast soon, which started out as a pitch that was this crazy sexual antic story. Then we went to an adult bookstore and I gave him head through a glory hole. Then we did naughty hide and seek. Then he came on a donut and I ate it. Like all these things that were just one thing after another, trying to tell the high points. And I asked a bunch of questions. I'm like, you know what? This character suddenly appears. Let's talk about how you met them. And that opened this floodgate about how he'd been a coworker. He had a girlfriend who also worked there. They were cheating on the side. And then later on, he told his partner and the world blew up and everybody at work knew. And I was like, what's this story about for you? And she was like, I grew up a military kid. I never really got to form deep connections with people. But I never thought I could show my true self, my kinky self, to someone. And I found one person, and he matched me. Not only could I show my true self, but he was completely there for it. And when it all blew up and he left me and went back to his girlfriend, I just felt like maybe he wasn't brave enough. But if I can find one person that I can be myself 100% with, there's got to be more. So I've just got to hope the next person is braver.
Yeah, I call that a breakthrough lover, by the way.
Really?
Yeah, when you meet someone and you go places that you didn't think you could go or would go, or someone who 100% validates your desire and your pleasure, and then once you have that, even if that person leaves, you now sort of can't go backwards.
Yeah, that makes sense. That's a great term.
Yeah. Okay, we're going to take another break. We're going to have some commercials. I love the pleasure chest. You should love them right back. It is Valentine's Day coming up, which is a made-up consumer capitalist holiday and also, you know, a fun time to get your loved ones sexy things and yourself. Go to thepleasurechest.com, check out all the classes they've got this month, and they've got some deals also for V-Day. Stay with us. More Dirty Stories, more Dixie when we come back.
Happy New Year from the Pleasure Chest. January is full of amazing pleasure ed classes, including in Los Angeles, January 22nd, Big Sex, Body Positive Sex to Empower Your Sex Life with Elle Chase. January 25th, Asian Femmes Speak Out, a panel on sexuality and stereotypes. In New York, on the Upper East Side, January 15th is a squirt shop, and January 29th is a class on pegging. At the West Village location, January 16th is Asking For It. In Chicago, January 8th, it's Suck It, Lick It, Love It, all about oral sex, and January 15th, BDSM Basics. Plus, from January 14th to the 20th, there's an early bird Valentine's Day special. You can get 20% off most popular couples' toys. Some exclusions apply, online only. Beginning January 17th through February 11th, purchase any WeVibe and get a WeVibe toy bag gift in-store and online. As always, go to pleasurechest.com for these deals, to find out about events, and to get yourself something special while you're there.
Stimulating talk gets those synapses in the brain firing really fast.
All the time. The number one internet talk station where your opinion counts. VoiceAmerica.com.
You're tuned in to Sex Out Loud with your host, Tristan Taramino. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, please send an email to Tristan@puckerup.com. That's Tristan@puckerup.com. Now back to the show.
Welcome back to Sex Out Loud, everyone. Today is dedicated to body storytelling, which is a live storytelling series, as well as an amazing podcast. If you like this show, you'll love that one. And we're talking to its creator, the woman behind the magic, Dixie Delator. We are going to go right into our next little clip of a story. Do we have to set this one up?
I don't think so.
Okay, so we're just going to go.
Would you like to watch yourself while Raccoon and I fuck you? I say, yes, I would. There is a giant mirror right above the sling. And the saber-toothed cat says, very well then, I will blindfold you. And I think fucking animals every time. They torture me like this. How did I end up in here with two furries having sex? Well, it happened a while before that. When my 15-year-old son Anton came out to us, he said, "Mama, I'm gay." And I said, "I know. You've been decorating, garnishing your scrambled eggs with parsley since age 3. You make rosettes out of beets for salad. And I don't know any 15-year-old boy who loves opera as much as you do. You're constantly listening to the magic flute." And Anton looks at me, "Well, actually, I want to come out about something else as well, but I don't feel safe." I'm like, "What the fuck? What do you mean you don't feel safe in my ultra-liberal, Buddhist, polyamorous, Burning Man going household?" And he looks at me with indignation only an American teenager can produce when they're looking at their Russian immigrant mother. "Mama," he said, "you make fun of those people." And I break into cold sweat and my heart drops. You know, it's the worst nightmare of any mother in the Bay Area. "Are you a gay Republican?"
Well, I don't even know where to begin.
Sounds like a laugh track, doesn't it? It's not a laugh
track.
It does,
because I assume also her facial expressions, her body language. I mean, there are moments in there that you can see she's imitating her son. She's rolling her eyes. I can hear her rolling her eyes.
And she's also dressed like a furry. So.
Oh, she's dressed like a furry to tell the story.
Yeah, because it starts with a judgment about furries, and by the end of the story, she's a furry.
Wow. Oh, so he's a furry, but he doesn't want to come out to her because she's already said something that it's a bad thing or a weird thing.
She thinks furries are weird. Why would you do that? But because to go to a furry convention, a lot of the content is adult. She has to escort her son to furry conventions because she's a supportive mom. And in the course of going to furry conventions and meeting the furries, she realizes they're people just like her. They're not that weird. And eventually she starts to get it. Pretty soon she connects with other furries and she has a crazy furry sexual adventure.
Wow.
That's one of my favorite stories. Her accent is so much fun. She was so much fun to coach. And she really got what storytelling was about, which is empathy and letting people not judge you, which is why I do what I do. I mean, it's so easy to judge people who are different than you. And that story is really about judging people, thinking what they're into is weird, and realizing by the end of it, that makes total sense. I totally get if I had walked through that person's life, by the end of it, I'm exactly at the same place they were. There's nothing weird about what they just told me about.
You know, there's also another taboo staring me in the face in this story, and that is a 15-year-old gay boy talking to his mom about sex and desire and pleasure.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, like the taboo on the surface is the furries and the dressing up and the fox and the sling and all the things. But then, you know, these are conversations that most people can't have with their parents, or they feel shame, or then their parents shame them if they bring it up. So this is also like an interesting model that she is, you know, liberal and she did accept it, which probably meant the world to him and saved him at least 5 years of therapy.
Yeah. And also, you can talk on sex many ways. You can talk about the theory, which is I am gay. You're not giving them any graphic details about that. You're just saying gay, and they go, okay, that's the sexual identity. I understand it. Same thing with furries. You can think about furries, and they're like cute and have little perky ears, and they're nice to touch, and they're soft if you think about it in that way. But we also know that there is a side of furry culture that is very sexual, and it kind of moves from these innocent descriptors to something that is much more graphic and in the room.
We only have a few minutes left, but since you've been doing this for 13 years, what has changed in sexual storytelling?
Well, in the beginning, I hid what I did. because nobody understood why anyone would want to tell stories about sex. I mean, we were the original. When I started telling at other events and was told not to tell the details, I was like, the story is the details. The whole story is about sex. And when I started doing it, it was kind of like, why would I go to that? It's about sex. Oh, that's just tawdry. Why would anyone talk about their sex life? Now, when you go to the Moth, half the people who put their name in the hat are getting up there and they're like, I'm going to tell you a story, and they're going to get graphic too. They know they're never going to get on NPR, but they don't care because it feels so good to get up and tell people about this part of life that you don't have anywhere to share. So it's really fun to watch people see it and go, oh, it's not what I was expecting it to be. It's not titillating and it's not shameful. It's just people showing what they really care about and talking about it without editing it for the audience. And watching someone do that just makes you go, I have to do that. So getting people to get on stage is a lot easier than in fact, I have to turn them away a lot of the time. Or if they live somewhere else, often they will write out their story and email it to me. And y'all, if you're going to do that, send me a voice memo of your telling a story. I want to hear you tell the story. I don't want to read your words. I like to tell people I'm from the South. I can't read, but that's not true. It's just that I want to hear the excitement in your voice. I want to hear what you care about. And it's really fun to see how people get how important this is. It's really moved a lot in the 13 years since I've been doing it. It's more socially acceptable. In terms of podcasts, you and I are in the sex realm of podcasting, and there's so much more out there that I don't think would have been there 13 years ago.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So anyone can pitch you a story. They can go to bodystorytelling.com and find out more. That's also how they can get to hear the podcast. So I want folks to know that. I want folks to find you on social media. On Twitter, you're at body. On Instagram and Facebook, you're at Body Storytelling. You also happen to have a Patreon, patreon.com/body. And I'm spelling body, B-A-W-D-Y, just to be clear.
You're so good. Thank you.
I like to spell because people, you know. And you also have a YouTube channel. So you can go to YouTube and search Body TV. Thank you so much for being on the show. I loved being on Body, and I love the work you do, and I think it really, really matters.
Thank you so much for this, Tristan. This was so much fun to get to talk with you for an hour.
I want to thank everyone who makes this show possible. Executive producer Karen Dana, senior producer Raymond Johnson, announcer Cooper Beckett from Life on the Swing Set, Andrew, my engineer, everyone at Voice America. Tune in next Friday at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern for another edition of the show. We're going to talk about pelvic health, people. There are going to be some pelvic floor physical therapists on the show, and we're going to talk about things like vaginismus, pain during penetration, pain during intercourse, and some really interesting ways to try to address genital issues without immediately jumping to medication. So until then, you can catch me on social media across all platforms at Tristan Taramino. The show's on Twitter at Sex Out Loud Radio. And I think everyone should, you know, maybe leave Dixie a voice memo with their story. Till next time.
That's a wrap on today's show. Go to voiceamerica.com to listen to this and other episodes on demand or as podcasts. And make sure you come back next Friday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific, for Sex Out Loud with Tristan Taramino on Voice America Variety.